Welcome to the Influential Women Podcast, the podcast where we chat to inspiring women. This is Nikki Bannerman, and my influential woman today is Emma Heptonstall. Hi, Emma. It's great to meet you.
Hi, Nikki. Nice to talk to you today.
And you. Now, Emma Heptonstall is a lawyer, a former lawyer, a family mediator, a divorce coach, and even known as the divorce alchemist, and also an author on the special subject with a book entitled How to Be a Lady Who Leaves. Now, Emma, our first question is, how can you help those who just don't know whether they wish they could leave their marriages or alternatively they want to make it work?
Well, it's such a great question, Nikki, because lots of women at the start of the process are in that quandary of, should I stay or should I go? And the answer to that question can dictate the rest of their lives, or at least the next 2 to 5 years. So making a great decision is about stepping back and recognizing what's within you and what's going on in your marriage, and not confusing the two. Because if you're unhappy with you, you are going to take yourself with you when you leave. So you might leave a great marriage or a marriage that has great potential, only to find yourself miserable somewhere else.
Gosh.
So what I do is help people step back and answer that question for themselves.
Gosh, that's very interesting. And really, it's an honest, serious decision they have to make, isn't it? And you can help them either way. I mean, you're not championing that armies of women should exit, but you're really helping those to make their own decision, really.
Absolutely. Now, a word that I really dislike is empowering. I don't like that word. I think it's overused. But ultimately, that is what it's about. It's about giving women that sense of themselves. Because when you're unhappy with it, with yourself or in your relationship, you can often get so lost that you're not sure which direction to turn. You can't see the wood for the tree. So it's about peeling back the onion and saying, what do I really want? What is me and what's an issue that is outside of me?
Gosh, that's interesting. So it's two perspectives. Now, you say on your website that many of the women you coach have what others think is the perfect life, but that's not their truth. An unhappy marriage is an unhappy marriage. And you've said it can sometimes even take 5 years to build that decision and make that break.
Absolutely. I did some very unscientific research just through Facebook groups, communities mainly of women, asking people who'd already left how long it had taken them from thinking about, you know, that first seed of, I think I want to leave, to actually making the move. And the average across that community of women was 5 years. Some women had taken 15 and 18 years to leave. Some women reported that they hadn't been intimate with their husband since their last child was conceived, and their children were now approaching adulthood, but they'd stayed for the sake of the children.
Gosh, yes, it's really getting people to be honest with themselves, isn't it? I mean, there are some lucky people out there who are still madly in love, and we obviously champion that. But there are those who can't make the relationship better, who have tried, who've lost hope, who've fallen out of love, and it can be terrifyingly hard for them, can't it?
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't matter whether you've been married for 2 years or 20 years. If you've gone into that relationship, which most women do, with the expectation that it is forever, and that you build a life around that, it may be that you sacrifice a career to support your husband in his career, and you have some children, the loss of that certainty and the stability can be terrifying, even if you know rationally you're not going to be living in a shoebox or under a bridge, that there's money there for you to start again. It's still terrifying. Obviously, if there isn't a lot of money available, it's even more scary.
Yes, so it's sort of habit and society and all of those sort of things that you build around you, isn't it? But it's not actually the you that's inside.
Exactly. And of course, around ladies that want to leave, there is still a stigma of, but you're going to be wrecking a family. You're going to be breaking the children up with their father, and how can you do that? There, you know, even in the 21st century, that ideology is still out there. The shame of it, as well as the fear about, can I do this? Am I strong enough? how will I survive? How will the children cope? How will I do, how will I manage practically and emotionally as well as financially? So all these things that are in the mix that stop women making decisions, possibly at the right time for them.
And it all happens at once, doesn't it? I mean, this is the rest of their life. This is what we're trying to help them with. Now, you are an author of helping women prepare for divorce and getting ready to leave. You've got this great book I've got here, How to Be a Lady Who Leaves, The Ultimate Guide to Getting Divorced. So how do they begin with their decision?
The first thing that I say to all women is do nothing. As soon as that thought starts to permeate your brain, is not feeling that you have to react. Now, it's slightly different in the circumstances of domestic abuse. You may need to act immediately to protect yourself physically and emotionally, yourself and your children. You may need to act quickly if you think that your soon-to-be ex-husband is going to start moving and hiding money. But if you're not in those categories of women, you don't need to do anything. You need to sit with it and let it just sink in so that you know as a gut reaction whether it's the right thing. And that your head and your heart are also in agreement with the decision to go. Because it, when you get into that place of making that good decision, and you absolutely know with every fibre of your being that it's the right thing, you won't look back even when it gets really tough. And it does get tough, even when it's your decision, even if it's amicable, you know, even if you've got a great husband, you know, he's a great man, but you're just not suited, it will be difficult.
There's no such thing as a happy divorce, is there?
I think there is, in the sense of two people can sit down and accept that the marriage is over and they can be happy for one another to move forward. But happy doesn't necessarily mean that it won't be without difficulty, because emotionally it's hard to break away from somebody, particularly if you do still love them. As the father of your children, as a friend, as a fellow human being, and they, you know, you can recognize all the great things about them as a person, but they're not great for you. It's hard to say goodbye to that.
There's a lot of things, as you say, the onion. So you're encouraging them to become the smart, capable, independent ladies they are deep down, have lost their way, or maybe still are, because, as you say, you know, identity, marriages, children, they can lose themselves along the way, really, can't they?
Absolutely. It's so easy. And if you're in a high conflict relationship, even if it's and often it's more when it's a covertly emotionally abused relationship, you end up playing this role. So you become an actor in your own life. So to the outside world, you may look like you've got the perfect marriage, but underneath, you're lost, you're controlled, you're lonely, you're being emotionally abused by your soon-to-be ex-husband. And that's hard, because then you begin to lose about, well, who really is me? Am I this downtrodden wife? Or am I that strong person that I pretend to be when I walk into the office every day? Or I meet other mums at the school gate and, you know, they look at my life and think it's amazing.
Yes, it's being honest with yourself, isn't it? Because I think, you know, if you're in the biggest house and the most comfortable house and the most amazing lifestyle and the most fabulous holidays, and you still feel empty, you know that something's not quite right, don't you? So transformative, life-changing work is what you do. Some of our listeners, a lot of our listeners, are still young and hopefully in love or partnerships, and we have men that listen too. This is a subject for women to tackle the challenge of divorce, but do you help men too? You've helped literally hundreds of mainly women.
I work with mainly women, Nikki. I don't advertise my services for men, but I do work with men. They will quite often message me and say, well, I found your website and I see you work with women. Do you work with men? And the answer is yes, because ultimately it's the same work. They have to do the same things. They feel the same emotions. What I notice about men is that they often feel them in a different way. So men will often, and this is a generalization, of course, often feel insecure about when they're going to see their children next, how it's going to impact them financially, before they'll open up about how they feel about it emotionally. But it's not to say that they don't feel those emotions. They have different concerns. Whereas women will present emotionally and want to deal with that before they turn to the practical aspects of dealing with money, for example.
Gosh, that's interesting. And I read it, I don't know if it was on your website or another website, that said men actually do cry more in the actual sessions. Is that what you've experienced?
They do cry, yeah, because I think meeting someone like me gives them a safe space to just be open and honest about how they're feeling. You know, I've worked with men whose wives have left them and they're devastated because they thought it was going to be forever, just like a woman might think it's going to be forever. If we're in love, and it may not be perfect, but if we're happy with the way that it's going for ourselves and we think it's going to last forever, to be left is you know, is devastating for men as well.
We all want the happy ending, don't we? We're all romantic at heart, men and women. So the skills we need to prepare: courage, bravery, tenacity, confidence. That's what it says on your website. And sometimes nerves of flipping steel and money, obviously.
Yes. If you've got money, it helps because you're able to tap into professional resources that will help you. If you don't have money, it's not the end of the world. You can still support yourself and still access great resources that will help you. The biggest thing that you need is courage and bravery.
Excellent. So save, borrow, find a friend, ask the bank, have one of these high interest loans. What do they do? Legal aid's gone, hasn't it?
Legal aid has pretty much gone. So there are two types of legal aid. There is legal aid for those women who are experiencing abuse, and they will be able to access legal aid to help them fight their divorce in the courts and their financial applications in the courts if they need to. They may have to contribute financially to that, depending on how wealthy they are. Then there is public funding that's available for family mediation, and that's a different test, and that allows more people to access the support of family mediation as and when it's appropriate. So it's not always appropriate and it doesn't always work, but I am a family mediator myself and will champion it wherever possible, because when it works, it really does work well. And it enables people who wouldn't otherwise be able to access support for financial reasons get that support that they need.
Excellent. So if we talk about your book, it's a crash course on divorce as a toolkit, really, a hitchhiker's guide. You talk about the tactics, the steps, and the nuts and bolts, really, of the process. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. How to Be a Lady Who Leaves, The Ultimate Guide to Getting Divorce Ready, is all about making that initial decision and checking that it is the right one for you. And then the first and following steps that you need to take when you should get professional legal advice, when you should get advice about your pension or financial advice from a financial advisor about how to invest wisely, and what you can do for yourself. I think a lot of people, men and women, don't realize that there is much of the divorce process that you can do yourself. Now, that's not to say that if you can afford it and you want a lawyer to do it all for you, absolutely, by all means, go and do that. But if your budget is limited, save your limited budget for those aspects of the process where you really do need legal help.
Definitely. You can stack up an incredible bill, can't you, there, where you use them as your therapist. And a lot of people, you know, overuse them, and myself included, you know, those hours tick up pretty fast.
They do. And that's part of why I started The Divorce Alchemist, is to encourage people not to do that, because whilst more and more lawyers are becoming more aware of the benefit of coaching and counselling and emotional intelligence and all those aspects of the divorce process, the majority of them are lawyers because they want to deal in law. And so you get the best out of them when you let them do their job from a legal point of view and take your emotional crisis somewhere else. And you'll save yourself literally thousands of pounds doing that too.
Yes, of course. And it weighs quite heavily on your friendship as well, doesn't it?
It does, because your friends kind of want you to move on. And whilst, you know, particularly women will come together in camaraderie and do a bit of man bashing to support you in those initial stages, what you really need for them to do is to support you to move on.
Yes, interesting. Good advice. So divorces, we know, and myself included, which I had touched on with you, can be incredibly scary and emotionally and mentally overwhelming, even when it's your idea. So regrets and preparation and confidence, really, is that what you're thinking?
Yes, absolutely. When you make a great decision that you know you will not look back on with regret, you can move forward with your life, which means that the process is going to be quicker and easier. Because when you make a decision that you're unsure about, you get stuck because you keep turning back and saying, have I made the right decision? Whereas when you're future focused and you're thinking about that life that you want, and you're thinking about all the different aspects of life that you may have denied yourself or you haven't had the courage to do that are just waiting for you at the end of your divorce, you have got something to aim for. So when it gets dark, you can keep going forward. And it also allows you to let go of the anger and the resentment that you might feel, because, you know, man bashing as a general, and women bashing, if it's the gentleman listening to this, it's not helpful. It may help you in those initial weeks to think, yes, I'm doing the right thing, and, you know, that person's not been good for me, or they've been mean to me. But overall, you have to be able to let go of that resentment. Certainly in my online communities, I don't allow man bashing. Certainly tell your story. Tell it once, tell it properly, move on. Alarm bells ring for me if someone wants to keep telling me the same story over and over again, so that I almost know their story as well as they do. Because when we think about the neuroplasticity in the brain, all we're doing is reinforcing negativity and we're keeping ourselves stuck. So part of what I do is help people, mainly women, to let go of that.
Interesting. Yes, definitely. And finding a channel for the anger, I mean, you know, in terms of you know, what I've read and even experienced sometimes, if you drink too much, it's actually a depressant, isn't it? You know, it makes you feel worse. And I know endorphins help, you know, whether people run, walk, I find swimming, you know, Tai Chi, something, Reiki, myself, better, something calming, whatever it takes, you know, to when the anger strikes.
Absolutely. Meditation, gratitude journals. In my group program, I talk a lot about the power of gratitude and writing out what you're grateful for and thinking about that future life. Because when you're thinking in those terms, you're not tapping into that energy. You can let it go.
Definitely. And let go of the negativity. It's a bad force in our lives, isn't it? So the very foundation and security of people's lives, from money to their home, their precious children, their future, it all seems to come crashing down at once. I mean, it's honestly worse than bereavement, isn't it, in terms of sometimes what people have to, because they're dealing with every aspect of their life, not just one.
You know, with a bereavement, you know, societally, we can gather around people, we understand, we give them time to adjust. But you can be going through a nasty divorce and still be expected to show up for work every day and still put in a 9-to-5 and still be in peak performance in whatever industry that you are working in. And if your home life is absolute hell for you, it's a real challenge. And if people around you think, oh, well, you know, she's been going through this divorce for 6 months, 18 months, and it's still a nightmare, and she just can't pull herself together, you know, she's not really on top of her game, you know, it can impact productivity in the workplace. It can impact your ability to get promotion. And so an understanding of how long the process actually takes and the impact it has on our well-being, emotionally, fatigue, all of these things, if you're not going through it, you don't understand.
Definitely. You know, mental health can be impacted, you know, whatever, you know, you've been like before, can't it, in terms of how people cope. I've read also, you know, you have to break down almost to break through is what some people have, I've heard podcasts before. And there's not many people I know that have survived without antidepressants, you know, I personally didn't, you know, I had massive support from friends and family, positive thinking, mental toughness, you know. I think it's finding that positivity in amongst all the chaos, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, and finding what works for you. If you feel that you need the support of medication, then don't feel ashamed to reach out and ask for it. Because if you've got some children at home and you've got a job, you may be faced with having to move house. You might be have been a stay-at-home mum and being faced with going back into the job market when you weren't expecting to. You've got all these changes. So take whatever it is that you need to do for you to help you. And that's why I talk about having a plan to leave your man. Because if you can plan your exit strategy, if you get that opportunity, you can take it step by step, so it doesn't all just collapse around your ears. And it might do, because you might not have a say in what happens.
Definitely. Now, your unique selling point is that you've never been married and therefore never divorced. But the raw experience you've witnessed already through, you know, being a former lawyer and a mediator, you've felt what everyone's done and seen the mistakes that people make.
Absolutely. So I'm not on my own healing journey. So I don't relate to women who are going through the divorce process because I haven't been there myself. But what I have is the experience of hundreds and hundreds of women who have. I've seen what works and what doesn't work. And I see the mistakes that they make. I see them coming to me saying, well, we've got our decree nisi, which is, as you know, Nikki, is kind of the middle bit of the process that ends the marriage. And I've spent £8,000 with a solicitor and nothing really's happened. I don't know what to do next and I haven't got any money left. What shall I do? And it's those stories that inspired me to say, well, actually, that £8,000 that you've spent there, for most people, not everybody, but most people, they could have got to that point themselves for £550 and they could have saved that nest egg of £8,000 to spend on legal advice further down the track. So it's about giving people the tools to understand what they can do for themselves. The more that you do for yourself, the more you feel in control of what's actually happening to you, or possibly even for you, because your divorce may be happening for your highest good. And it may not feel that right now when it's really dark and desperate, but the other side is your freedom.
And you look back 5 years from now and see how far you've come. So it hasn't put you off marriage then?
It hasn't put me off marriage, not at all. I would love to be married. I think that it makes me wary of marriage. I think that I will, should that path ever sort of cross my way, I will think twice about it. But I also know that I won't stay if I'm seriously unhappy.
I think that's the thing. And that's definitely a role model thing for children, you know. And you talk about putting children at the centre of it. I think it's really giving them the message you don't have to stay, not just if you have a bad day or you're a bit unhappy for a few days, but if it really is not right, you don't have to stay.
Absolutely. You know, our children are always watching the videos that we play them in our own lives, and they're going to model and emulate what we do. And if they see that we're unhappy and we stay, then they're unconsciously getting the message that if you're unhappy, you have to stay and you have to suck it up. And you don't. So the biggest gift that we can give our children is to lead by example and say, this is no longer working for me. It might have worked for me 20 years ago and it might have been brilliant for 10 of those years, but now it doesn't. So I'm going to choose differently. And I can do that with honour and respect. And yeah. I can maintain that relationship with my children's father if that's the right thing to do. In most cases, it is. I don't have to be married to this man myself to do that.
Definitely. And in fact, if it isn't, then that's fine too. You know, I've heard about, you know, there's co-parenting, obviously, when you can work together as a team, and some people can't. And I believe it's called parallel parenting, where you do what's right for you in your house and they do what's right for them. And I think as long as the children have resilience, which they learn from seeing it, then they hopefully are okay.
Absolutely. As a high conflict diversion specialist myself, parallel parenting is one of the things that I teach parents about. It's about accepting that you have no control over what the other parent does in their home. Now, safeguarding issues aside, if there are no safeguarding issues, a difference of value base or morality is not something that a court is going to get involved with and stop contact. So you need to learn to be able to accept that that other parent's going to do and allow whatever they do in their house, and that the children will be able to, if you allow it, to have two sets of rules, learn to live by both of them, and so long as they don't feel blamed or guilty or challenged by the other parent about that other parent's rules, they will be fine.
That's interesting. And also those two key words that you say, that morals and values, are some of the reasons that the marriage didn't work in the first place, because they're different, you know, from our own childhoods, from our own inner beliefs. And we can't do anything about that other than banging our head against a brick wall.
Well, absolutely. You know, our beliefs might be that the children don't have their tech at the dinner table, and it might be a really strong value in you that the children do not have tech at dinner table. But if the other parent thinks that that is a non-issue, you can drive yourself absolutely crazy stressing about it and telling yourself a story that your children are going to be emotionally damaged by having tech at the table. What they're actually going to be more damaged by is your insistence on bashing the other parent about them being allowed to do it. Whereas if you can let it go and say, my house, my rules, what the other parent does is what the other parent does. When you're with me, we don't have tech at the table.
Staying in a relationship is a choice. And what is happiness, really? You know, I think people even question that.
They do. And it is a huge question. What is happiness? Happiness for me is not perfection, because perfection doesn't exist. And, you know, and how many of us, particularly when we were little girls, thought about the perfect wedding day and the perfect husband and the perfect life and the perfect bank balance and waist size and bust size and everything else. We want it to be perfect, but it doesn't exist. So happiness for me is that place where you think, on balance, there are things that I would like to be different, but do I wake up with a smile on my face most days? Would I change anything most days? And if the answer's no, I feel contented and I feel blessed and lucky to have the people in my life that I have, doing the jobs that I do. I know I certainly do. I love doing this job, and I feel very blessed to be able to do it, and it makes me happy.
Yes, I think that's what it is. And I've shifted mine, you know, from being an incredible optimist to being a sort of optimist realist, and thinking actually that maybe, you know, it sounds cliche, but it's more about inner peace, you know, contentment, standing in your own truth, and actually just realizing, you know, there's a lot of people out there who have an awful time, you know, health and all sorts of things. And that's really what we have to keep thinking, you know, we're fine.
Absolutely. I mean, I work with women who are in terribly controlling relationships, emotionally abused, financially abused, and it's even encouraging them to find something to feel grateful for, even if it's the fact that they've got lovely children today, or they managed to get their hair cut today. It's important, because if we only focus on everything that's going wrong, all we see is more of what's not going right.
So which strong women or men have inspired you then?
Well, Brené Brown is probably my favourite person in the world at the moment, and probably has been for the past couple of years. I love listening to her talk. I've been to see her talk. I find that as a woman, she's just down to earth, but she's grounded, and she just says it like it is, and she doesn't fear telling us what's scared her in her life, telling us about where she's not got it right, and just being human. And even though, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years, you know, she has become famous out in the personal development world, and people know who she is and follow what she says and read her brilliant books, she's just still Brené. And I think that is awesome, because it's so easy to get caught up with celebrity and what's going on Instagram and, you know, how many Twitter followers we have as a businesswoman, all of those kinds of things. But ultimately, she's just Brené sharing her message. So she inspires me because I think I want to be that. I want my message to be out there, but I don't want it to change me because I'm just me.
So keep your feet on the ground.
Keep your feet on the ground, absolutely. And then it's the women that I work with because they blow me away. Because although I'm there encouraging them to do scary stuff, there are sometimes I think, well, I'm not quite sure I'd do that. I'm not quite sure I'd have the courage to do that myself.
Takes a lot of courage, doesn't it? That's what I'd said to myself every day, you know, just dig deep and, it's just another day. You really do have to dig deep and find resilience, don't you? And those skills, I think you've either got or you haven't got from your own childhood, and models of behaviour there.
Absolutely. And I think we sometimes forget about where does our inner strength come from? When was that first moment in our lives where we just had to go, oh my goodness, I'm really scared about this, but I'm just going to do it anyway. And when I'm working with clients, I'm inspiring them to dig deep into that. You know, so I've had women who won't say boo to a goose, go and represent themselves in final hearings in financial proceedings. And, you know, there's been part of me thinking, I'm not quite sure she'll do it. You know, I think she might cave in, but she's done it. Yeah. I just think, wow.
It is a big thing. It's a big thing. So, can we talk about your passions then? What are your hobbies? How do you spend any time off helping to heal the world?
Well, I am a big coffee shop haunter. So coffee is probably one of my biggest passions. I love drinking it. I love being around it. I wrote How to Be a Lady Who Leaves in coffee shops. Being around people is my biggest thing. So when I'm in and it's interesting because I was thinking about this before we started chatting, when I'm in the gym, I like to be earphones on, music on, losing myself in dance music. It's a long time since I've been clubbing, probably 25 years, but I love dance music to exercise to.
Takes you back.
Yeah, and I love a spinning class for that reason because I can really just lose myself. I don't understand the mentality of people that go to the gym together. I can't get it.
It's a solo sport, isn't it?
For me, it really is. So if I want a real alone time, then that's what I'll do. If I want to be out and about, it's coffee shops. And I might just take my laptop and I might be doing some work. But if I'm around people, even if I'm not with them and talking to them, it's the buzz and the energy.
Yes.
Yep. Of people just being around. I just love it.
It's finding your happy place, isn't it? I think being in the swimming pool is my happy place. Just it's just surrounded by water. It's just it's like going back to the womb, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, that warmth and the seaside. I don't live that far from Brighton. If I just need to clear my head, I'll take myself down there and just walk along the front. And just that's a place for decompression. Is that the expanse of the sea?
Definitely love that word decompression. I definitely find that actually about the sea. You sort of feel like it blows all the cobwebs away, doesn't it? And just start again.
Absolutely. And, you know, looking out onto the horizon, it's like, well, anything's possible because there's all this space. Because often if we've got a stressful day or stressful life, our brains can become crowded with intrusive thoughts. And that for me is a place to really look.
Definitely. So look at the horizon or look at the clouds. That's what we say, isn't it? Do you have a mantra then for living your life every day with your attitude of gratitude there?
Do I have a mantra for life? I'm not sure that I do, Nikki, of itself. I have mantras for clients that are important. For myself, is probably it's just to keep going. Because, you know, I started doing this 5 years ago. From a blog, from an idea that I had in a coffee shop, ironically.
Brilliant. JK Rowling rocks.
And, you know, it took a long time for it to get traction because it wasn't really a thing back then. But I've just kept going.
It's very now, though, isn't it, in terms of, I think, a lot of people and a lot of friends that I know, people, once they're over 45, they do start reflecting, you know, is this what I want for retirement? And often the answer is no.
Exactly. I mean, the rise of the silver splitter, as they're kind of known in the media, is huge, because it's that generation now that is the generation that can afford to do it. And I think this is where we need to be mindful of women who are in their 40s and younger, is that being able to divorce when we are in our 60s will be more challenging, because we won't have the financial backing that people who are in their 60s now have. Because most of them who have pensions have good pensions. You know, you only need to go down to M&S on a lunchtime and see that majority of people shopping in there are of a certain age. And they're able financially to afford a split. But will we be able to afford to split if we stay into our 60s? I suspect that there's a very strong chance that we won't be able to do it as easily as the generation that can do it now can do it.
So the time is now.
It's not to wait hoping that it's going to get better. If your relationship is not working and you are not willing to do anything about it, or you are but your soon-to-be ex-husband is not willing to do anything about it, it's not going to change. We have an expression in Yorkshire, and it's, if things don't change, they'll stop as they are, which means basically that you've got to change to change.
Definitely. And I've heard, you know, if you keep on doing the same things, you'll get the same result, you know, and we can't change them much as we'd like to.
Exactly.
So what's your next goal then, Emma? You've got more books on the horizon, more women to help.
Yeah, so at the moment I'm just putting a book proposal together about high conflict divorce and how to manage that. That wasn't a project that I particularly wanted. It kind of found me through the women that I've been working with. The 6-Minute Divorce podcast is coming as well.
You can do it in only 6 minutes. Wow.
It's basically going to be a pocket-sized podcast giving people chunks and hints several times a week about divorce without them being long, drawn-out 30 minutes. So if you're on the tube, if you're in the car, if you've just dropped the kids from the school run and you're in the car and you're going off to work, you've got something to keep you focused. And it might be just a tip a day. That idea is unfolding as we speak.
Brilliant, love it. Well needed. Lastly, what key message would you give to inspire and influence women or men listening out there?
To be true to yourself. That is the key thing. If you are unhappy, you must speak your truth. Now, safety issues aside, if it's not safe for you to do it one-on-one with your spouse, man or woman, then find somewhere where you can safely do it. And if it's absolutely not safe to do it at all, because you are suffering in extreme circumstances, you need to leave, because it's not going to change if you stay there. If you're not in an abusive situation, speak your truth, find a way forward. And if that means accepting that your relationship is over, embrace it in a time frame that's right for you. But it doesn't mean it's the end of your connection to that person. It doesn't mean it's the end of your love for that person. And there's, you know, divorce is not death. If the world changes around and you remarry that person, there's, you know, you can do that. And I think we forget that. We think, oh yeah, but if I get divorced, it's the end. It's not. It might be the end right now. It might birth something new for you and your soon-to-be ex-husband, a different way of connecting that may bring you back together, and it may not. It doesn't really matter, but you're responsible for your own life. Definitely. He or she is not responsible for you. And if you look back on the end of your life and think, I didn't take the stand when I wanted to or needed to or could have done, or I didn't get the help that I needed to reach out, it's you that's going to be left with the regret, not the other person.
Definitely. And I think it's a lot of that, and I found personally myself, is accepting that it's okay for it not to be okay. And that stigma and, you know, society and everything that surrounds you, is like, they only care for, you know, a quick chat and then they're on to something else.
Exactly, you know, it really is. You know, I don't think we put our fish and chips in newspapers anymore, but it is tomorrow's chip wrappings. Whatever's going on in your group of friends at the school gates or in the office, tomorrow there'll be something else for them to gossip about.
Exactly, so embrace it. So as we say, be happy, live your own truth, don't stay in a toxic, unhappy situation. It may be hell getting out of, but it's short-term pain to long-term gain and contentment. It's a process, not a destination. It's the first step in changing your life, reclaiming who you are, and continuing on your own journey. So take those brief steps, and Emma and I can hold your hand and watch your back, can't we, Emma?
Absolutely, Nikki, we absolutely can.
Excellent. So thank you so much, Emma Heptonstall. You are one very influential woman, and if you help one person's well-being, health and life for the better and improve their relationship, their happiness and their future, and even inspire them to leave a sad situation, then we've hopefully brought them support and positivity into their life. So thank you for that. The Influential Women's Podcast is presented by Nikki Bannerman and co-produced with Juliet Nichols. Please subscribe for free and keep listening for more podcast guests on our channel on Apple Podcasts, on Comcast, Pocket Cast and Spotify. We'd love a 5-star review on iTunes. And if you'd like to sponsor or advertise on a future episode, please get in touch through Twitter or our websites at Nikki Bannerman Radio or Pineapple Productions.